until they give you that love tap, TJ, going by. Oh, man, glad you're here this morning. As you can see, we have some Play-Doh up here. And I'm going to let three of y'all play with it in just a minute, okay? But you got to hang on first here a little bit of the message. And I'll let you play with some Play-Doh. So I'll need three volunteers here in a little bit. But I need volunteers to know how to play with Play-Doh. I'm not good. So I'm going to need three volunteers that know what to do with Play-Doh. So be thinking about that. All right. Isaiah chapter 64. We're going to start 64 and 8. We're going to start right there. I know I got it backwards, Brandon, but go to Isaiah first for me. Isaiah 64, 8. Oh, it was? Okay, good. All right, we're talking about listen and surrender. We talked about this Wednesday night a little bit. We're doing a series on Wednesday nights called Fresh Starts. And our Wednesday night series was about a new mind, how to have a new mind in Christ, and how that our thoughts are important, and how that we have the right thing come inside of us, and how that shapes what we do and how we live by what we think, and that it's important that we have right thoughts and that we know what truth is, and that we block out noises and we do all, you know, block out all the lies, and that we stay and hear God's voice. And then Beagle closed out very good Wednesday night with the point he made about how God wants us to listen, that as we listen, really listen, because a lot of us are talkers in here, right? We like to talk. Anybody like to talk in here? Yeah, we talkers. And sometimes we're too busy talking that we don't take time to listen. And my wife would give you a big amen on that with me. And I think most wives would with their husbands. We're too busy trying to interrupt someone or too busy trying to come back with an answer that we don't take time to listen to even get an answer. And so when it comes to things of God, if we would learn to listen, and by listening, you can't listen and talk at the same time. I mean, nobody's that multitask. Okay, how skilled you are, you can't really listen and talk at the same time. You do one or the other. You're talking or you're listening. And as we take time to listen from God, and I believe in prayer. I believe we talk to God. I believe we make our supplications known before God. We tell him what we need. We tell him our desires. We pray for the people, and all that's good. But the same token, there's times we've got to be quiet and just listen. Okay, God, I'm not going to talk for a little bit. I'm just going to sit here on my knees, sit here in my chair, lay here in my bed, whatever, and I'm just going to listen. I'm not going to say anything. I want to listen for you to talk back. And as we learn to listen, you know what listening really is? It is surrendering. Because when I'm sitting there and Melanie's talking, believe me, it is a total act of surrender. I feel totally captive. And so as we learn to listen, we really are submitting ourselves to that person. We're surrendering ourselves to that person's cause. And so if we learn to listen to what God has got to say, now, listening is more than just hearing the words, right? I mean, I can tell Chuck, hey, Chuck, brother, don't take that job, man. I'm just telling you, I feel bad about it. Don't take that job because something ain't right about it. Or don't marry that person. That's the wrong person. I'm telling you, don't marry them. I'm just telling you, something ain't right. You know, you tell your kids, you know, be home by 11 o'clock, you're grounded, right? They go home at 11:30. They're grounded if you're a good parent. You're going to do your word. And you're going to say, well, I was just 30 minutes left. What'd I tell you? Okay? I know you told me 11, but you didn't do it. See, listening requires not just hearing the words, but it also encompasses doing what we're listening to, obeying what we're hearing. And so when it comes to things of God, God talks a lot of times, but do we listen? God is speaking to us, do this or don't do that, and we go against his will and we do it anyway. And then we pay a price for it. And we want to blame God for that. And God's like, look, dummy, look, I told you. You know, I told you. I mean, I tried to speak to you, but you went against what I told you. So what do you expect the result's going to be? And so Isaiah here, we'll start here, then we'll get into Jeremiah. 64:8 says this, now, O Lord, you are my father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And we are all the work of your hand. God is the potter. We're the clay. This Play-Doh is nothing right now but a ball inside this canister. But in a minute, some people in here are going to make this ball something different. There is no power in this Play-Doh whatsoever. All the power comes from the maker, from the one molding it and the one shaping it. The form of this Play-Doh is completely changed by the hands that it's in. We are changed by the hands of God as we place our lives in it. We're changed by it. As we say, God, take my life, take my thoughts, take everything that I have, Take my finances, take my health, everything, God, I give and surrender unto you. You help me, you shape me, you teach me, you show me, and I want to learn how to listen to you. And by listening, God, that means I surrender to your plan and to your will and not my own. I think about Abraham, how hard Abraham had it when God spoke to him about leaving his country and leaving his family. He spoke to Abraham in Genesis and says, go to a country I'm going to show you. Leave this place. Abraham had a choice to make. God, I like where I'm at, man. I'm comfortable. My family's here. My job's here. Everything's here that I know, that I've ever known. I like where I'm at. I like the box I'm in. And this is what I'm comfortable with, God. So I'm staying. But he didn't. He left like God spoke. And he went to another country. And because of that, God blessed him. Because of that, God blessed his seed. Because of that, a whole nation was born because of his act of obedience, because Abraham listened to the voice of God. And not just heard it, but obeyed what he heard. Listening requires us not just hearing the words, but then obeying the words that were told. So when God speaks to us, it's important that we not just hear him, I hear you, God, but that we follow him. You know, the disciples, when he went to disciples and started calling them out, what'd they do? They heard his voice, but they also followed him. They left their nets. They left their jobs. They left this, and they followed Jesus. They did more than just hear him. They followed him. So many times we know what to do. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. It convicts us. It teaches us, but we don't want to listen because what God is telling us goes against what we really want. What we really want. You know, if God is stirring you about a certain situation that you know is not really right, but you keep overriding that, you're not surrendering to it. You're not submitting to it. You're not saying, God, I give you this, and I place all of this in your hands. And I, God, you're the maker. And you're the creator. I'm just a creation. I can be nothing without you. I can be shaped to nothing without you. I am nothing without you. You're the creator, and I'm the creation. God, you are the artist. I'm the blank canvas. You do what you want in my life. And I will accept that, and I will follow that because God's only got good for us. I mean, I use the example all the time. When you raise your kids, you try to teach them right from wrong. You give them rules for a reason. You don't give them rules to be mean. You don't give them rules to be a lord over their lives. You give them rules because you know what's going to happen if they don't follow those rules. You know what road that's going to lead to. And so you give your children rules, and they can either listen or not listen, and you're doing that to try to shape them and mold them to become what you know is best for them. Most parents, if they're normal parents, I'm talking about psycho parents, I'm talking about normal parents. I hope you're not a psycho parent here today. Normal parents will give their children rules because they want what's best for them. That's the whole purpose of them. It's not easy for parents to always say no. We get tired, y'all. Man, we get tired, man. Telling you no all the time. It stinks. No, can I do this? No. And they argue and they fuss and they raise their voice and they don't understand and they whine and, oh, I got to win an Academy Award for my dramatic acting. Oh, but mother, why shan't I go? My God, it gets on my nerves. They don't just accept no for no without having to win a Globe Award for it. But you're doing that because you want what's best for them. You're not trying to paralyze them or stop them from having fun. You're trying to do what's best for them. And if they would submit and they would listen, then they wouldn't have some of the problems they have. So in our spiritual walk, if we would learn to listen and surrender, we might not have some of the battles and strongholds that we have, and that's why they've not been broken. They can't be broken. We can't have breakthrough until we surrender. Until we fully surrender and say, God, take these chains and unlock them. Take my life and break it apart. Lord, speak to me what I need to do to get set free from what I'm bound to, and I'll listen to you, and I'll surrender no matter how hard it is. There's a cost sometimes at doing what's right. There's a big cost to that sometimes. But it's the right thing to do in the long run, and we'll see the results of that as we follow God and learn to surrender and learn to listen. The Bible talks about surround ourselves with wise counsel. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. The Bible says, you know, don't forsake the ways of your father and mother. Wear them around your neck like a necklace, and don't forget them. Don't forsake what you've learned. Don't forget it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason that instruction is there. And God speaks to us through his voice still today, and God speaks to us through his written word. And as we read that word, God will show us, and he will speak to us. And like I said, there's many times he does speak to us, but we just don't like what he's got to say. I mean, it's just like this. Shirley's a Dallas Cowboy fans, a fan. And you know, I hate it for her, but we do accept everybody, and I get that. She loves the Cowboys. And no matter how much, and I love Shirley. She's sweet. And I mean, she's one of those, I mean, she's just a good church person. No, never caused me no problems, no drama. Just a good church person. I mean, all of y'all do that. But she's a good church person. But no matter how much she tries to talk to me about the Cowboys, I'm not going to ever like them. I'm just not going to like them. I'm not going to surrender and ever like them. Even when Zach Prescott come out and she told me this story about his mama and how he calls her. She's passed away and he like gives her a call before the game and leaves a voice. He's got her voicemail and it's a sweet story. I even texted her one night. I said, you almost got me convinced to pull for him just because of that story. But I don't. I'm not going to surrender. I don't care if all the cheerleaders walk in here. I'm not going to surrender to liking the Cowboys. It's just where I'm at. Sometimes we don't like hearing what God is trying to show us because it's not what we want to hear. I know my daughter Christian lost a very good friend in high school, not death-wise, but lost her friendship because she went to Christian and asked her a question about, you know, what do you think about the situation? What's your advice or how do you feel about it? What do you think about it? And Christian was honest with her, and because she was, her friend got mad and left and never were friends again. Just because she was honest with how she felt. Just like Jack Nicklaus said, right? I said it a couple weeks ago. You can't handle the truth, right? I won't do it again. I scared Teresa when I said that night. Was that a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning? Wednesday night, yeah. Yeah, I banged the podium. I said, you can't handle the truth. She jumped out of her skin. So I won't do that again. But anyway, sometimes we just can't handle the truth. It is what it is. When you look in the mirror and you don't like how you look, I'm talking about when you really got a reason to, not one of these people that's psycho, right, that has the perfect body, but, oh, I gained 3 ounces, really. I'm talking about when you look in the mirror, no, you know what, I got an issue here. We can either be honest with that, or we can deny it. We can be like other people. Well, I ain't as big as they are. Have us do that. Well, I'm big, but I ain't as big as they are. Or we can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I need to do something about this. I need to just address it and be honest, because baby, the scales don't lie. That's just how it is. And so when we face issues head on and surrender to say, you know what, this needs to really happen, but we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear you don't need to be eating them sweets. I know I don't. Just trying to help you. Aren't you a diabetic? Almost went in a coma. Yeah, but I like my honey buns. Okay, well, look, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you. Don't get mad at me. I don't want you to die. We don't like submitting. The doctor tells us this. We don't like it. The preacher. So you know how people, as a pastor, I hear this a lot. People don't come to church. I don't want to sit there. I don't think no preachers tell me what to do. Well, I mean, y'all know I don't tell you what to do. But people do have a problem submitting to teaching in general. So they don't want to be taught. I don't need anybody to teach me nothing. Yeah, how's your life working out for you? Don't you love your 17-year-old says, if I want your advice, I'll ask for it. And you're like, okay, but man, you really going the wrong way. It's just amazing how when we don't surrender how many problems we have. And surrendering can only come by following and obeying the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. And that's what's hard. Let's go to Jeremiah now, 18. The Lord is going to speak to Jeremiah and give him a word. He's going to take him to a place called the Potter's House. Now, in the Middle East, of course, pottery was a huge deal. And it was everywhere. This is a very common place for God to speak at a potter's place where they're making all this. Chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause you to hear my words. I love that part. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. In other words, I'm going to open up your ears. You can't hear it unless I open it up first. You can't understand unless I first open it up for you to hear it. This is why there's some folks that never advance spiritually. They never truly grow spiritually because they never really hear. They hear this. Oh, yeah, the preacher said a joke, or the preacher talked about this, or he read a verse, or they sang a pretty song. But it doesn't, they don't hear it inside to where it becomes revelation, to where it becomes breakthrough revelation. When we hear God's voice and let it really plant a seed, and we hear it with our spiritual ears, it will change our lives. It can't just be surface listening. God's got to open our ears to hear it. And if you are struggling to hear from God today, you're struggling in the season you're in to hear from God, you've not heard from Him in a while, or you're in a bad place, or you've hit a dead end, and you just need to hear from God. And you're like, Pastor, I have prayed, God don't answer. I've talked to Him, God don't answer. I've fasted, God don't answer. I've done all these things, and God don't answer. Just keep surrendering to God and say, God, open my ears to hear Your word. I can't hear it from the flesh. I've got to hear it from the rim of the Spirit. Teach me and show me. And God's going to speak to Jeremiah and say, I'm going to cause your ears to hear what I'm going to tell you. Because what I'm going to tell you will change your life and everybody's life if we'll listen. Goes back to listening. Listening and surrendering. Verse 3. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. Now, if you remember how a potter, you've seen these before, they had a wheel on the bottom for your foot. So one foot would mash the wheel, make the other wheel up top turn for the clay. That way the potter's hands, both of them, were free to shape and to sculpt whatever he was working on. So you had a foot pedal, then you had, it turned, the foot pedal turned the bottom wheel and the top wheel, so both hands could just be on the clay. See, God's got both hands on us, trust me. Both hands on our lives. He's got us. We're very secure. So he tells them, I'm working on a work on the wheel. We're the work. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It means it was messed up. It wasn't shaped right. So he made it again unto another vessel. Here's what's beautiful. He doesn't throw us away. Notice it says he took the same clay that was marred. All of us were born marred. All of us were born messed up because of sin. And God didn't just throw us away because of our mistakes and our failures. He took the same clay, the same vessel, the same human life. He says, you know what? I'm going to take your heart and your mind and your soul and reshape it and rechange it and make you my creation. He didn't just reject us. It's a beautiful thing. For those that say, God won't accept me because of this, here's a perfect scripture to say, yes, He will. So what? You're marred. We all marred. Man, we all messed up. That's the word we don't use today, is it? Marred. We're all marred. All messed up. But He don't throw us away. He just reshapes us. That's why the Bible says we're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. Look at Paul, man, called Saul at first, as he's on that road to Tarsus to arrest Christians. He's on the road to Damascus. He's on that road, and he's, you know, mean, and he's angry, and he's going to, anybody that follows Jesus, he's going to arrest and, you know, even help crucify. He's on that road, and the light shines upon Saul's life and stops him in his tracks. And that same life of Saul became Paul. And God used the same clay. He didn't get rid of Paul. He didn't strike him down dead. He says, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you going against what you're called to do? I'm going to reshape you on this road in the middle of your anger, in the middle of your bitterness, in the middle of your lack of understanding. I'm going to take this clay, your life, and shape you into what I want you to be. And no longer are you going to be the big mouth guy from Tarsus that goes around arresting everybody and being a big fat bully. I'm going to make you a planter of churches. I'm going to make you a disciple of mine. And from what you were, I'm making you now this. I'm taking you from the old ugliness and creating a beautiful vessel. You're going to go from a bad, bad man to a righteous man in Christ. You're going to go from an unbeliever to a believer. You're going to go from death unto life because I didn't give up on you. I just reshaped you. That's what God does in our lives as we surrender. Remember what Saul did? Saul surrendered, remember? When that light hit, what did he say? Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, Lord, speak to me. Lord, Lord, I'm here. He surrendered to the voice and call of God. And as he did, can you imagine that? And see, I'm looking for that transformation in this season, in this generation. I'm looking for bad, bad, bad men to be changed and transformed into the vessels God's created them to be. I'm looking for people walking in darkness to all of a sudden, in a moment, be able to walk in the light because the voice of God has spoke to them and their heart's been changed in an instant. This year, I'm looking for that. I'm believing that. I'm hanging on for that. Church, I think that's going to happen. Well, we're going to see people's lives transformed dramatically in 2018 Because the light of God is going to shine such a profound way, and His power is going to be unleashed in a new way this year that hasn't been seen before, that lives are going to surrender and say, "Yes, Lord, what would you have me do?" People that we gave up on. I believe you're going to run to people this year that you knew them as this, and now you'll be like, "What happened to you?" Been changed. Oh, I've been changed by the power of God. I've been changed. I've been restored. I've been redeemed, man. I've been healed. I've been bought back. God has changed my life because I finally gave Him my clay and says, "Take over." Man, we try to shape our lives all the time, right? With our decisions, with our abilities, with our talents, with our skills, with our education. And we try to build our lives. And when we try to build it apart from God, it always falls. Because the foundation has to be God. The foundation of our marriage, foundation of our finance, foundation of our children, foundation of everything we do has to be God. And when that foundation is not God, then the foundation isn't right. And that's why everything crumbles. Build your house up on the rock, right? Not the sand. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. As we build our lives upon Him, everything else just works. It's not perfect, church. There's no perfect life. There is no perfect life. The only perfect life I know was Dory on Finding Dory. Remember her? "Hey, my name is Dory. Da-da-da-da. Hi, my name is Dory. Da-da-da-da. Hi, my name is Dory." Remember, she had long-term memory, short-term memory loss. And so her life, she only had about a seven-second life over and over and over. But for most of us, we don't have that problem, thank God. Our lives can be hard, and they can change from season to season. But the one thing that doesn't change is our sign says, "New year, new beginning, same God." Oh, I love that. Every time I say that, I just love it. That's such a powerful statement. New beginning, new year, same God. God has not changed. He is the same as He always has been. Verse 4 continues to say, he made it to another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Another key point, right? He made it according to how he saw fit. Sometimes we try to fit ourselves in a situation that we don't belong in. There are things in my life I know I'm not called to do. Most things. I'm not called to do. And I get it. I can admit that. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a builder. I'm not very good with my hands. Other than waving them when I'm preaching. I'm not good with my hands. And I'm okay with that. Because I got a wife that is. So it works out. That garage is about done. Thank you, baby. But I'm just saying, she's really good with her hands. And she's the one that does stuff like that. I'm not skilled. I'm okay with that. Does it bother me? Not really. Because I'm too sorry and lazy to really learn how to do it. So I just pay somebody else to do it. I mean, that's where I am. If I have car trouble, you ain't going to see me popping the hood. Well, I'll do it to look, I'll do it to impress Brad. Oh, yeah, looks like that carburetor, right? Well, carburetor didn't make carburetor anymore. Did. Look at that serpentine belt. Yeah, a little bit cracked right there. And you know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just looking cool and getting greasy. The car still ain't fixed. I don't have the patience. I be tearing stuff up trying to fix it because I get mad. That's just how I am. And I realize that and I recognize that in me. So, Lord, make me and shake me. Don't be mad about what you're not, but be submissive to what God wants you to be. And then accept that and embrace that and do it to the best of your ability. All are not called to teach. All are not called to do mechanics. All are not called to be doctors or lawyers. All are not called to be accountants. All are not called to be scientists. Find what God wants you to be and then fulfill it to the best of your ability and embrace it. And don't be mad about it because every one of you are different and God's got a special work for all of you. He said this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "O house of Israel, I can do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Man, God's saying, as you're seeing this potter create this beautiful vase, beautiful bowl, whatever he's creating on that wheel, what you're seeing this potter create, I can do that in your life. I can take you from a ball of Play-Doh. And I can shape you into whatever I want you to be if you will surrender. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to bring some of you out of the box this year too. I see Living Word Ministry coming out of the box for some of y'all. Things that are not traditional, things that are not like it's always been. Maybe you've been a little held back, a little backward, a little bound. a little uncertain, and I believe God is going to take your clay this year, and all of a sudden, by the end of this year, you're going to be a different shape than you were in the beginning. God's going to do something. But we've got to surrender. We've got to give up ourselves to God. And I realize that's hard, especially for us men in here, straight men, especially for us men, because men have a tendency to be a man. I fought in Korea and took a bullet in the left shoulder. Good for you. We're proud of you. But God's still your Lord. Well, I'm a man. Ain't nobody tell me what to do. I'm a man. I'm a hunter. I hunt deer. I spit dip and I catch fish. I wear my overalls and my farmer's hat, man. I'm a man's man. I give it 5:30 and feed them chickens. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I was raised, man, where women be quiet and men did everything. And we got to get rid of all that. Nothing wrong, man, for a man to cry and to submit to the power of God and say, Lord, take this man, this clay, this vessel, and shape me so I can be the man to you, the man to my wife, the man to my children that I need to be. Right. Nothing wrong with that. But it's harder for men sometimes because we have a pretense that we got to be tough and not show emotion. And I don't mind showing emotion, man. We'll be watching a movie, man. I was looking at me. I'm over here crying. That don't get you. How you not feel that? Let's not go there. Let's not go there. I don't know. I think that we have to allow ourselves to feel. Nothing wrong with feeling. Some people deny it because they don't want to face the feelings of pain or hurt or frustration or failure. But as we allow our feelings, antennas to shoot up and say, God, here I am. Whatever pain I'm going through, whatever failures I've been, whatever mistakes I've done, God, I just want you to come in and reshape that part of my life and make me what you want me to be. There's something about surrender that just gives us a new strength that we didn't have before. We surrender other places. We surrender to our doctor. Man, we'll do whatever our doctor tells us. If our doctor tells us, go, you know, jump through 3 hula hoops, go up them 3 flight of stairs, pour a bucket of paint over your head, and come back and pet your dog and say, I'm better. Well, the doctor said it. If your lawyer tells you advice, don't you, you take your lawyer's advice, right? Well, here's what I would do. I'd plead this, and this will get you, you know, we'll knock these felonies down to misdemeanors. We'll do this. Well, okay, that's why you're the attorney. I'll do what you tell me. We'll listen to him. See, Kevin has. So we listen to our doctors, and we listen to our lawyers. We listen to our bosses at work. If you want to keep your job, you got to do what your boss says. Now, how stupid do you think it is? Can you move that mop from here to there? Okay. Why? Because I said so. Okay. He's the boss. You go listen to him. But, man, when it comes to God, we don't have that same ear. I don't know why. But if we did, God could use us. He says this in verse 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it. But if that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. The point of this scripture is this. Your life is not where you want it. You're on a road that's not producing any fruit. You're in a place that you're just tired of being in. Turn and repent and say, God, I give you my life today. I give you all of this today, because my way is not working. I'm not happy where I'm at. It's not producing any fruit. It's not worked for me. So God, I'm going to give it to you. And as I turn my life and I turn my ways unto the Lord says, then I can take you, and then I can shape you, and then I can mold you. You know, if you've ever raised a rebellious child, there's absolutely nothing you can do to make them not rebellious. Nothing. You can preach to them, you can pray for them, you can throw rattlesnakes on them and anoint them with oil, speaking tongues. If they are rebellious until they hear the voice of God, until they listen and surrender, that's how it's just going to be. I've learned that. They have to listen and surrender. And when they do that, then healing can come. Healing can come to you today as you listen and surrender to what God wants you to be. Lord, shape my life. Shape my marriage. Shape me as a father, as a mother. Lord, shape me as a servant of God. Shape me as a human being that I will reflect all that you, Father, want me to be. This Play-Doh is an example. And what I want to do, I need 3 volunteers that know what they're doing with Play-Doh. Come here, Anthony. Give me 2 more. 2 more volunteers to come up here. Got these young people, yeah. Take that. I need 1 more. That don't feel good. I need 1 more. Come on. Don't be bashed. There you go. Come on. I dropped your clay. Sorry. y'all turn around and face me, all 3 of y'all. I want you to don't look at each other. And you make what you feel out of your Play-Doh. Just make something. Mold something and make a shape of some sort. And then when you get done, we'll turn around 1 by 1. Don't you show the crowd what you've made. Now picture that this is God here. For once, I'm not God. This is God. Destiny, Ivy, God. And the clay is your life in their hands. And here's what God is doing. He's taking your life right now, and this is what he's doing. You might even see it. See, y'all can't see what he's doing right now. It's another point I want to make. You can't see what he's doing, but God's working on your life right now. God is shaping you if you will let him. And sit back. See, none of y'all have to know what's happening. Y'all all know something is happening, right? Spiritually, that's also the truth. We don't always have to know what God's doing. We just know God is doing. And so I'm going to sit back like y'all were doing. You're going to trust God. And we will say, we'll make Anthony's life will be Melanie. And Ivy's life will be Teresa. And Destiny's life will be her mama. Okay? So when they turn around, so Anthony is shaping Melanie's life right now. Ivy is shaping Teresa's life. And Destiny is shaping her mama's life. So let's see what happens with all this. When y'all were done, let me know. Taking this serious, aren't they? They have, yes. All 3 of these have been coming to church since they were little children. They grew up in this church. Now they're all teenagers. 15, 16, 17, 16. 16, 15, 16, 17. Yes. 16 next week. All right. Wow, it's a biggie. Are you done? It's your birthday, and you're shaping your mother's life. What a gift. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, turn around, show the crowd what you've shaped. She made an elephant for you, Teresa. So your life's an elephant. Now, hold it up, Ivy, so they can see it. Look at that. Look at this cute. Now here, is that not pretty extreme, a cross and an elephant?
Yeah.
2 extreme shapes, 2 different completely ideas, cross and an elephant. They're the potter, you're the clay, and God has shaped your life like this. And when Anthony gets done, we'll see what Melanie's going to be. You take a lot more time. I agree with that. 25, okay, what is that? It's a person, look at that. Hey, get a picture, Ashley, on your phone. Y'all line up a little closer. Hold your shapes up, Ashley, get a picture of y'all. It's your little creation there. Look at that. We've got a person, a person, an elephant, and an object. All 3 completely different things. They didn't look at each other. Did you get it, Ashley? Thank you. Isn't that awesome? Give them a hand for participating and helping out. This is how God does our lives. Yeah, the green. Thank you. Y'all did a good job. Thank you very much. Good job, Anthony. I can tell you're almost 16. You did good.
You can also tell I'm still a child.
Yes, I can. This is a visual of how God does our lives. Notice no 3 were even close to being the same. So don't try to pattern yourself or somebody else. Man, I wish I was more like Tim back there, man. He's just a cool cat, man. Got the beard, sitting there chill, man. And why can't I be like Tim? Because you're supposed to be like you. You can't be like Tim. Why can't I be 6'9" like Brad? You know? Well, you know what? God didn't make me 6'9", so I got to live with that, you know? You know, why didn't God give me hair like... Yeah, thank you, Brad. Got one guy here, hair. Brandon. Why didn't God give me hair like that? Well, he just didn't, so I can't be like Brandon's hair. I can't be like Brad's height. You know, I can't, you know, look young like maybe somebody else and, you know, whatever. We got to quit trying to shape our own lives and be happy with what God makes us. And then as we surrender to what we're supposed to be, then we'll do what we're supposed to do. The reason we're not doing what we're supposed to do is because we don't know who we're supposed to be. Let God identify you. Don't try to identify yourself. Let God shape you. This is so important for those folks up here a while ago, our teenagers, that age group, our teens. That's a transitional time for them, trying to find who they are, right, Ivy? Trying to find out, I'm growing from a young woman to, you know, to a child to a young woman, and what am I going to do? Who am I going to be? What's my morals? What's my values? What do I really think for myself? You know, I know what dad and mom told me. What do I really believe? What do I really think? It's a transition time. What's important is that we say, God, you help me transition. You know, mom and dad, they give the best advice they can, but it still takes the voice of God to get you your identity of what you need to be. And I'm okay with my kids all being different. I don't want them being like me necessarily. I just want them to be blessed and to avoid roads of darkness. That's all. I don't care what they are. You know, it wouldn't matter if I had one kid as a doctor and one that rode the back of a garbage truck. I wouldn't care as long as they were happy and they were on the right road. Wouldn't matter. I'd be just as proud of all of them because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let God take your Play-Doh, your life. Say, Lord, you shape me. I don't have to look like Teresa. I don't have to look like Carol. I don't have to look like Melanie. God, I want to look like what you want me to look like. I don't have to put myself in a box. With our young people, there's so much pressure of that too, that we think because, you know, Miss Susie Q at high school looks like this, I got to look like that, you know. Or, you know, Mr. Billy Ball looks like this, so I got to be this kind of guy. Tell you, I live in the country, can't you? So, you don't have to be like Billy Bob or Susie Q. Just be you. That rhymed. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. I'm a poet, didn't know it. Sorry. Spitting out them rhymes on time. Okay. All right. That's enough. I'll stop before I drop. Okay. That's the end. I won't pretend. Okay. Anyway. Oh, goodness. You're not going to go on for an hour doing this, but I won't. God is the potter. You are the clay. Become the clay God wants you to be. Marjorie, come on up if you would, and have something to close out with and worship. I think it's important that we realize that we cannot fulfill the purposes of God until we surrender to God. And part of surrendering to God is listening to God. God, I'm listening to you. I'm open. Talk to me and help me and show me and teach me. And then God, when you speak, give me the courage to obey what you're speaking. Give me the courage to step out, no matter the cost or the sacrifice or what I think may happen. Because I'm telling you, if God's plan is in this for your life, it will be right for your life. I promise it'll be right. Let's stand to our feet this morning as Marjorie's getting ready to sing. I want to say a prayer with the congregation today. Some of you are trying to find out what your shape is, where you belong in your season, whether you're 15 or whether you're 75 or whether you're in the middle. We all go through seasons of trying to figure out what our next step is or where we belong. And I want to pray that your ears will be open today, that God will open your ears to hear what he wants to speak into your life. God, we stand before a holy God today. We stand before you as clay that is marred. And there is no beauty within our clay apart from your hand of creativity doing something in our lives. We are definitely marred and messed up and shapeless without you, God, the Creator, shaping us. Lord, we want to surrender our lives to you today as we stand here. Surrender our thoughts, surrender our future, surrender our past, surrender all that we are to your hand today. That you take this life of ours and you shape us, you mold us, put us on that wheel, God, and spin us to the vessel that you see fit for us. For your vessel, God, that you see fit will be the right vessel. Let us not complain about what we're not, but let us ask you to shape us to what you want us to be. And we will accept that, and we will bless that, and we will fulfill and walk in that beautiful creation you've made us. For Lord, you formed us in our mother's womb. You knew us by name. In the inward parts, God, you wrought us, as David said in Psalms. In the inward parts of my mother's womb, God, you wrought our lives. You put in our thoughts, our desires, our physical members. Everything, God, was created by you. Let us be happy, God, with what you have made us. Let us rejoice in what you have made us. Let us celebrate what you have made us, God, and created in our lives. Use us. Let us surrender. Let us listen to your voice today, that we will begin to fulfill the purpose that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.